All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside of me is Mr. Joe DeCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for yet another episode brought to you by grumblingsmedia.com. That's right, anywhere you go there for all your political, entertainment, sports, and other podcast needs. Make sure you head over to grumblingsmedia.com to check them out. You can also follow along on YouTube. Make sure to Grumblings Media. Hit that subscribe button while you're there. Hit the like, hit the share. Comment down below. You know, let us know you're alive out there. Listen, we are truly one of the best, if not the best, arguably the best football talk show out there. Most interactive, that is, of course. We're also brought to you by Rumble.com. If you're on Rumble.com, make sure you give a follow over there. And it doesn't just stop there, Jim.
No, tell me more, Joe.
Also, we got anywhere you get your podcast. You can bring us along for the car ride, the gym workout, whatever you're doing. Apple, Google, Spotify, and Pandora, we're there for you guys. We are your football therapists.
All right. I like it. Definitely. Let's let the therapy session start. We are on the clock, Joe. Here we go. Watch out, because we are very expensive.
That's right.
All right, Joe. So
start
the timer. Here we go. What do we got to complain about? There's some little bit of news going around.
Right, a little bit.
To cover some of it real quick.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin gets the extension, Joe. We talked about the opportunity that he might be on the hot seat or whatever. We'll see what happens. But
that was last year.
Yeah. Well, last year. Yeah,
halfway through the year, people were grumbling about the potential of, is this the end year of Mike Tomlin?
Right.
And then the second half of the year, completely different story.
Mm-hmm.
Stormed back, got like kind of back in the hunt with this team, got his shit together, really. Got that whole team.
Yeah.
And now you look at that team, you know, in the horizon, it looks much different, much improved. And they got a couple of quarterbacks that they're going to take a stab at starting.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think I even saw something on the internet somewhere about the last losing season, I think, for every franchise.
Okay.
And I think the Steelers were right there, number one. I want to say it was like 2012 maybe or something like that. It's been a long time. And he's been the coach even around then.
Right.
So, I mean, I was funny. I was on the NFL Network, too, and I was able to watch one of the previous Super Bowls was Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers versus – Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Right.
It's funny how people, well, younger everybody was, but then also the equipment they're wearing even by then.
Yeah,
Tomlin was there going against the coach now of the Dallas Cowboys.
And one other thing, too, I want to mention, too, is Mike Tomlin also had a press conference recently about practices, about the quarterback battle, because everybody's dialed in on that, obviously, but said that so far, I mean, it's still the very early stages, but like Russell Wilson has sole pole position there. Mm-hmm. Like there's no movement there at all. Fields hasn't gotten any closer or anything like that. But again, it is very early. Mandatory OTAs has now transpired. There's about 22 or so teams that are now reporting for duty and getting into practice. And with that being said, Jim, another piece of news too out of Cleveland is that Amari Cooper didn't show up for day one of mandatory OTAs and seems like he's perfectly okay with taking the fine.
Yeah.
And he's one of three, to my knowledge, that didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we take a look at the Jets, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, they did a lot in the offseason. They looked very good on paper. They looked like they could contend for the division. And your leader of the offense did not show up. Aaron Rodgers did not show up and honestly was a little odd. Because you have new teammates now that you have to acclimate and get chemistry with, especially in the receiver position. But also, it's mandatory. You should be there because you want to get right back into the swing of things like you were before. You know, last year you were injured and done, right? But now you're still with the Jets. You didn't really get to – you didn't play a season with them yet. Don't you think you want to be there, get better chemistry with the receivers, get better inclined and with all the players and everything, get to know everybody a little bit more because, man, that to me is a little bit of a red flag right now.
I know. They said he was off for personal reasons, too. They gave it to him. But it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm not worried about it at all. And it's not like he's going to, like, all of a sudden, you know, not have chemistry. He's played with some of the other guys that are already on his team, especially the main focal guys.
But the Jets
didn't. I think it's just going to to blend in fine with them. So.
But the Jets didn't give him permission.
And he was excused from the team, so that's fine. I mean, I don't see that's like all of a sudden he just didn't show up and he's still in a dark cave somewhere having a darkness retreat on Ayahuasca. So, I mean, I'm not worried about it that much. That's not that big of a deal. It's not like he's sitting out for a contract either. He's not disgruntled. So I don't think it's a major issue. I get what you're saying to get reps. So I get that, but I don't think it's a major deal.
It's not major, but it is a little bit of a red flag coming into a year where you still haven't played with the team that is already there.
Well, if he shows up tomorrow.
And the fact is, my thing too is like, what kind of message are you sending to the guys that are there that take it seriously, that are trying to get to the next level, you know, get to their winning ways? Because I understand it's only one practice, right? It's the very beginning, and I get that. But you're being a leader of the Jets. Like, I think that, you know, for other players, let's just say for any other player, let's say Garrett Wilson didn't show up. I don't think the Jets would be happy about that at all. You know, they would say, hey, listen, we're going to have to fine you. You know, but because it's Aaron Rodgers, it's like, he had an event that he wanted to go to, and so we kind of let it slide. My thing is like it's kind of like you got to hold everybody the same accountability.
Who the
you know what
hell
I mean?
Cares?
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get you, but yeah, I don't think it's anything major on that. Yeah, some of that stuff's happening. You know, Christian McCaffrey. What do you think about him, the running back, making the cover of Madden now? Huh?
Hit that soundbite again.
Yeah, see, yeah, the same thing. Now, do you think the fantasy people stay away from him because they think the curse is alive again, Joe?
There's always those people out there that believe in that curse so much that they will. There's going to be a lot of people that will stay away from him and be like, oh, he was on the cover, though, so not saying he's going to get injured, but maybe he has a down year. Maybe he's not worth the high pick.
Yep.
You know? But we'll get to that. We're approaching fantasy season soon.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. So, all right. So tonight, the main focus of our show tonight is it all started because we looked at a list that was made up by Barstool, I think it was. Part of My Take, I think it was.
Yeah, Barstool did it. It was Part of My Take, and it kind of lit a fire under us last week.
It did. And it was funny is because, you know, we went to do – this whole thing, it kind of got messed up. We went to do one big list together. Communication got messed up, so Joe started one, and then I just did my own. So it's going to be all over the place because even within the making this list, and you guys probably know, let us know him too. Rank your quarterbacks in the comments. Let us know in the comments who you would rank, even the top 10 if you want. And if you agree with ours, you're probably going to disagree a bunch just because – that's the way it is. This is all debatable. You know, whatever feel, whatever you like and see in the quarterbacks, you can even believe on whatever's the popular guys, just even because what people are telling you, who's the top and whatever you like.
Right.
Just even it's your quarterback of your franchise. You have a bias towards that. Well, so it was very tough for me to kind of figure out, especially the top 10. Once you get down towards the you know, out of the top 10, the middle area, it's all splitting hairs with these guys. Because like I told you before, I think it was last week or the week before, we were talking about these quarterbacks.
Yeah, last week. Yeah.
I think it was like you're splitting hairs between good and bad. It's not all of a sudden if somebody's all of a sudden like ranked 12th and another guy's 15th.
He's
and you're
terrible.
Like, what the F, dude? You know what I mean? It's like you're splitting hairs between these different things. So.
Yeah, one thing that I'll have to put an asterisk on, though, is that I know our YouTube title says the top 10 quarterbacks of 2024. Actually, it's just it's a top NFL quarterbacks for 2024. That's the thing. It's like we're going to go through and rank all
just
these
ranking
starting
all of them.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get started first here with Joe's list, all right? Because we'll just get into that one. That'll get the conversation rolling. And then we'll get into
this. Let's really set everybody off.
So here's Joe's top list right now, give or take a few different ones. Okay, so let me move the banner out of the way so everybody can see it. All right, there we go. So, all right, Joe, right here in your top, let's look at the top eight right now, seeing the categorized right here. Yep. You got Brock Purdy number one, Jared Goff number two. Right now, people are probably freaking the F out.
Yeah,
right now.
They're like, where's Pat Mahomes? Where is he? Where is he?
Yeah. Where's Patrick Mahomes? Where's
Lamar? Lower.
Where's all these guys?
Lower.
Where's Josh Allen? So, all right. So, Brock Purdy and Jared Goff. I know you said this is even debatable on this. You made this list quick and you haven't made adjustments yet.
Right.
What brought you even to this effect here?
To even come,
Brock Purdy and, and these guys up
to even come close to this whole ideology that I came up with, because it's not about what they've done in totality in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about like, oh, well, that team that they're on made it to the Super Bowl. That's the reason why they should be up there. Because if that was the case, then obviously Mahomes would be number one. Mm-hmm. But this is about how we view these quarterbacks going into this season with the changes that were made for each team and where we think they're going to rank. So at the end of the year, I think Purdy could be very well on sitting on top, much like you look a year ago. Go look at the year ago because I did. Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott were 1-2 for pretty much almost every single category in terms of quarterbacks in their stats, right? Mm-hmm. They lit up the league. They both did. I was actually shocked, honestly, that Dak Prescott had such a great year last year like he did. But he did. It's out there. So Brock Purdy to me, like, okay, what's changed for Brock? Nothing. Same receivers are going to be there. And we'll just kind of touch on it right now. Brandon Ayuk, they've made a huge offer. $26 million a year is what's being reported and floated out there. Whether he agrees to it or not, we'll see. We'll wait and see. But again, I think that Debo's comfortably going to stay. I know this is his contract year, but still going to be there. Everybody's returning, pretty much. You know what I mean? The offense is still going to be the same intact offense, and it's still going to be attacking it and do the thing. The other thing that kind of brought me to Brock Purdy being one is this is also a team that is not pass heavy. They're very low tier on passes, attempted even. Like, they're very low. They're like 440 or so passes attempted. And we all know as NFL fans that the Niners love to run the ball. They like to mix it up, right? So with that all being said, and for Purdy to still be even close, if not the number one in some categories as a quarterback, that to me just speaks volumes of what he's capable of and this team for the upcoming season. So that's kind of like what led me to believe, like, maybe Purdy, maybe this is his year where he's going to be number one on top when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, and I really looked at Brock Purdy too, and it was close for me. At first, again, I'm looking at it and I'm like, what the hell is he thinking again? But then we talked about Brock Purdy last year and how he was producing and sneakily, again, everybody kind of looks at him as still the guy who's just, you know, a system quarterback here and there and stuff like that. But still, the way he's putting the ball out there, he does everything that everybody kind of asks somebody to do. But then now it's like a downfall about him. You know what I mean? It's kind of that thing. It's like, all right, this guy's staying consistent. He's not creating turnovers. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And they're like, yeah, he's just not that good. You know what I mean? And it's kind of funny. So right. I think he just gets overlooked by some of the bigger, not just even names, because they are bigger names now, but the flashiness. Patrick Mahomes with being able to make the one-handed throws while he's going down on both his knees, almost touching the ground and inch from the ground and throwing and taking off with his legs. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Lamar Jackson, do the same type of stuff. And Brock Purdy just isn't flashy. But what reminds me, though, is he's very cool, calm, collect, cares about winning, cares about what's best for the team. Right. There is no I. And it's a lot of what Tom Brady says. And I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady already and saying he's the greatest of all time.
Nope.
But he was drafted later just like Tom Brady. And, again, he's just happy to be there, happy to play with his team, and doing what it takes to get it done. So I can understand that here.
Yeah, you can see the results speak for themselves. I mean, threw for over 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. And like we said, with 69% completion percentage, was like just behind Dak Prescott in that category. So had a tremendous year last year. I think that it's going to continue this upcoming season. And who knows? Maybe Brock Purdy could finally get that MVP that eluded him last year.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to Brock Purdy, then Jared Goff now. Again, Jared Goff. Yeah. Again, people are losing their goddamn minds right now.
That's right. Probably. They're like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, let's look at the list again. Here it is out for everybody. Jared Goff, there, Dak Prescott. So, again, you talked about completion percentage, things like that being accurate. Mm-hmm. Is this why you even brought Jared Goff here into the conversation? Or is it again, you're saying actively how they've been playing, but then how you expect them to play this upcoming season?
Well, that's what this whole list is being broke down to, is because we're trying to predict what these quarterbacks are going to end up when the season's all over with. What's the final ranking system going to look like with their stats and how well they've been able to play and help their teams? Goff is one of those guys that, he gets slept on all the time. Like, I understand he took a hell of a lot of criticism in L.A., and that's kind of like why they made the decision to go and get Stafford in that trade. Well, Goff kind of gets shipped over to Detroit, still young and in his prime, and now is growing with a very young Detroit Lion team, and they are dangerous now. Now people respect him all of a sudden. Now, last year, he still took his lumps with the media. The media still kind of tried to bring him down and say he's not that good, he's average, whatever, but they made the playoffs. They did some damage last year. And also a team that has improved. Now, you also worry about when teams are young and as they get better, maybe guys want the big bag and they start to move on, and now it seems like the roster's falling apart. Well, Detroit this year re-upped big-time players that they needed to keep. Penei Sewell at the right tackle spot, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the number one target for Jared Goff. Like, and then you have the emergence of Williams from last year. Jameson Williams is penciled as the starter, and rightfully so. We've been waiting for this to happen as Detroit fan bases been saying, hey, give him more time, give him more time. Well, now he's going to get a shot. He's going to start. We've seen him show tremendous flash and highlight reels, you know, touchdown catches and what have you. And you got Sam Laporta. You have Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield. This offense is very solid. It's very well put together, and they're all young. They're in their prime. So this is a team that I think is going to take yet another step going forward into the season. Jared Goff is yet again going to improve. As crazy as it sounds, he's going to improve and have a better year this upcoming season than last year. Last year, oh, he just threw for 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 67% completion. You know, the stats are through the roof.
Yeah.
And he's definitely worthy of being mentioned as one of these top quarterbacks. So I think this is a year where he puts a stamp on it, and then he's going to compete. I really do believe, I said it earlier in our show before, I think Goff is like a dark horse. I think he could contend for the MVP this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, I can get that too. Again, kind of underlooked. You know, the team's been on the up and up.
Right.
Again, he has turned it around a little bit. He wasn't as bad with turnovers as a lot of people expect, you know, back even with the Rams. But again, kind of overshadowed. And I think getting out of Sean McVay's shadow, you know, and how, you know, smart everybody kind of saw him and saw him as, you know, the thing,
right,
that he was just a puppet in this whole thing. So being able to get out of that and be a team leader, I think, for the Detroit Lions, I think is big. I think he went to a perfect franchise for all that. The type of quarter or the type of coach that they have, but then just the losing franchise, you know what I'm saying? And then be able to go to that team and then all of a sudden turn it around right there and be a winner. That's big for his not only his legacy or his ego on top of it and everything else and his image that people see of him. Next, you've got Dak Prescott. He's been, like, again, a good regular season quarterback, very accurate. It's especially even last year, he kind of turned it around because the year before he had a lot of turnovers and he was leading the league, I think, in some of the turnovers at one point. And I kind of expected going into Mike McCarthy's offense that he would actually throw some more because of how much they kind of spread it out and want to throw those types of deep routes or whatnot. But he actually eliminated a lot of turnovers, a lot of the interceptions, and did really well. So it seems like here, another year in that offense, you're looking at him possibly taking that step forward and being here a big attribute here this season, having a good year.
Well, that's the thing is that he's already taken that step last year. When you look at what they did, they threw 590 attempts. That is a lot.
Oh, yeah,
that
is high. That's the one thing a lot of these different quarterbacks do, a lot of attempts.
Right, and Jim, just like you mentioned, like we thought Mike McCarthy was going to bring this pass-happy offense, and he did. But what was more surprising is the fact that Dak Prescott took this offense and played so well in it that it brought him to the forefront of quarterbacks and production wise, like 69% completion percentage, 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, touchdowns, 9 interceptions, amazing turnaround for this guy. And despite, like, even we've criticized him before and say, well, you know, he threw a lot of picks the 1 year and it's like, man, this is kind of the guy that we thought he was always going to be. But now he's kind of taken the league by storm last season with Mike McCarthy's offense and has kind of really taken off in terms of production and what he's able to do with this team. You look at the team now, it's like, okay, they went in the draft. They were A little lackluster to say on the offensive line part, but they made their draft pick. They got him in. They signed a couple of free agents and shored that up. They lost a wide receiver, but now they're going to next man up mentality. Tolbert is going to be the starter there on the outside along with CD. Now CD Lamb contract year. So you got to expect him to kick it up a notch, right? Cause he wants the big bucks. He wants to get paid more than Justin Jefferson. So, that's all going to go hand in hand. The only thing, and the reason why I don't have Dak at two or even one, and the reason why he fell down a little bit is because the backfield's different. The backfield, you got Ezekiel Elliott and company. They're going to do a running back by committee approach because they don't have any more star-studded running backs back there. So I'm a little concerned with that. Are they still going to be able to have that rushing attack like they used to? And if not, it's going to put a lot more pressure on Prescott. Now, does he fold or does he excel? That's going to be the thing that we've nitpicked him when there's no running game. He can't get the offense going. It's all the pressure's on him and he kind of folds like a lawn chair. Now, this is going to be the deciding year where if he can excel and still triumph, he's in for another big year, and I think he'll be close into that top three.
Yeah, okay. All right, so here we go. Looking at your top eight right now, again, you've got no sign of Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes in your top eight at all. And again, people are probably losing their minds on this one here. But again, it is
we'll get
predictions
there
for this upcoming season again.
That's right.
And Joe probably took in some different criteria than I did on top of it as well. Mm-hmm. So if you guys are losing your minds, wait till you see my list too. Yeah. So we're going to get to it in just a little bit here, because then we'll start bouncing off. Because once we get past the top 10 or whatever, we'll – see the difference here. So, again, you got Joe Burrow, again, coming off another injury here, already at number four. So you're expecting a bounce back.
A huge bounce back.
And then Tua right here, Tua at number five.
Yeah.
You know, again, that explosive, speedy offense here, the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
I think some people could see that, too, because of how, if you looked back at it, too, I looked at his stats even for the last couple seasons. He's been consistent. And people even say, you know, the weapons or whatever, stuff like that. Still, he's not throwing the interceptions. He's not having turnovers. He's not getting injured like, you know, he was kind of known to be. You know, I mean, he doesn't have a strong arm, all this. But again, he's asked of all that stuff. Do not turn it over. You know, get it to your weapons, which he has. He's already had a successful year than, say, Baker Mayfield did when he had Odell and all those guys, all they get a lot of weapons too. So he's already kind of exceeded some of that. Mm-hmm. So I think he continues on, and I think he could be a big factor this season too.
Yeah, so the turning point for me with Joe is it's more projection, and part of it is injuries, right? Like, you always got to kind of put that into the equation here. For Joe Burrow, he looks tremendous in practice. Now, I know it's practice and all that, but for quarterbacks, it's different, because quarterbacks – you can see them, their footwork. You can see them throw the football, the velocity on the ball, the accuracy, the strength, right? You see all that, the mechanics that are utilized. But Joe Burrow, in practice, looks like his old self. Does not look like there's any hitch in it, because he hurt his wrist. He broke his wrist and everything. So that's mended extremely well. You see that there's no, like, little hitch in it. Very fluid throwing motion. So I got no questions with Joe Burrow and his ability to play the game now. I think he's 100% healthy from all his injuries. He's due to come back. And then you can also kind of throw the little wrench into the whole equation there and say, oh, well, what about T. Higgins? We don't know what's going on with him. He could be on the move. He might be staying. He might be going. Well, something kind of gave me a little bit of optimism here for Cincinnati is T. Higgins came out and said and spoke. Hasn't been at practice, obviously, is still out. But kind of alluded to the factor, like, he wants to stay in Cincinnati. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He can't picture himself in a different uniform. So what it seems like is, like, eventually, like we were saying before in last episode show, that this will all probably get figured out and he's going to return to Cincinnati. So that gave me more confidence to move Joe Burrow up too, because now you don't have to rely on just Jamar Chase. It sounds like T. Higgins is going to be staying in Cincinnati along with your other young wide receivers that are below those guys. And I got to say, I like what I see. They definitely strengthened that right tackle spot, which has been a sieve last season. It was terrible. And they not added one, but two free agents to make sure that that was going to kind of hold up. Now, between the two, I don't know who's going to start, but it seems like Trent Brown is, but we all know his injury history too as well. So All in all being said, I think Joe Burrow is ready for a bounce back year with his weapons and a Cincinnati offense that is going to light up the scoreboard.
All right, we've got Mike Tackett in the house with us tonight.
What's going on, Tackett? Welcome to the show, bro.
All right, let's see what Mike has to say. He goes, is Jameis Winston the best backup in the league? Obviously, Flacco should have been re-signed, and that's a whole different conversation. He goes, I believe if Watson struggles and Cleveland is under 500 by week 8, we'll see famous Jameis at the helm in Cleveland.
I think Jameis Winston is the worst backup in the league. Honestly, like, whenever that guy has had an opportunity, and on another level, I don't even know how Winston signed with a team. Look at what the stunt he pulled in with the New Orleans Saints about how he was supposed to just down it with, you know, down it and end the game.
I get that.
And ends up changing the play.
Mm, yep.
Despite what the coach called and handed the ball off to put another score in. Mm-hmm. That to me is like utterly disrespectful right there. So, that's one. Second, Jameis Winston to me makes more mistakes than he does good plays. Like, this guy was so highly touted out of Florida State, was supposed to be a franchise quarterback, and has thrown an immense amount of interceptions and turns the ball over and makes dumb decisions. So, I'm sorry. I don't like Winston. I'm a huge Florida State fan, and I'm saying that. So, it's coming from a place of just X's and O's. Like, I don't think he acclimated well into the NFL, and he still is not the answer even at backup quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to look and see who I think the best backup quarterback is.
Gardner Minshew, maybe.
So, yeah, maybe.
He's definitely a candidate.
I don't know. That's another conversation I'd have to look into again and analyze. But I can see where he's coming from. But also, I forgot about the fact that, yes, that did happen where he changed the play at the line. And that was a big mistake there.
I'm surprised he got a job. Oh, really?
Yeah, I know, right? So, all right. So there we go. There's your list. Here, take a look at it here. We're going to get to it some more. Cause as we see some of these guys creep in there, and Patrick Mahomes is at 10 and Lamar is at 11. All right. Let's take a peek at mine quick. And then we'll start to, break it down a little bit and go back and forth.
Yep.
I have both of ours here on the split screen for you. So let's have the crowd here take a look at mine. And there's mine. And people are probably losing their minds again.
Winners don't use drugs.
I don't do drugs, you know, but I have Aaron Rodgers at number one.
Okay.
Because, again, I'm feeling that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a bounce back year again. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is still going to do Aaron Rodgers things and be Aaron Rodgers. And what it is 25-plus touchdowns and single-digit interceptions. And again, with the defense that he has, it's only going to help that offense altogether. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to produce well here, especially with the running backs that they have back there too. I think they're going to be able to control the ball evenly here. I put Tua right there, number two, and Brock Purdy, number three, Joe. I think Tua is going to have a big year. I've been looking at his stats again too, and consistency. I kind of averaged with everybody's, completion percentage, but then yardage per season. And then, you know, I broke down a bunch of different stats and kind of gave them up with a ballpark number for a lot of these guys. So it's part of my predictions and the way I got my numbers here. Brock Purdy was there number three too, because I think he's going to be at the top with this, and he's only just begun with this and the way this 49ers team is. They have to get a Super Bowl win here, though, Joe, because, again, not that their window is closing again. I just think that they have to get a deal done with Brock Purdy pretty soon and see what this team is going to look like and how much they can keep this good group together. You know what I'm saying? But Brock Purdy, again, shows all the good tangibles that you like about a quarterback. That's what I like about him there. And then I put Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson just because, again, Patrick Mahomes, what kind of put it down for me is the fact that he does have double-digit interceptions every season. Mm-hmm. He's throwing the ball a lot, but also Dak Prescott did and Aaron Rodgers too as well, and you're not getting that many interceptions. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can put up some more points, which I get, you know, in touchdowns. He's getting the 40 touchdowns sometimes, but you think of the fact that a lot of the interceptions that were called back too, Joe, and a lot of those calls, I'm not saying there were – that should have been calls. I'm just saying questionable calls that got taken away. So he technically should have even had more. So again, it's that recklessness that he has that I still think he needs to kind of rile in a little bit, because again, he puts a lot on his shoulders and he can do that, which you saw in the Super Bowl, to help get them to a win. But at the same time, it can kill them, which we also saw where he had no time to throw in that pressure in that Tampa Bay Super Bowl to where he did his best at what he could do, but it just wasn't enough, and then also led to turnovers.
Correct.
And then I got Lamar Jackson here at number five. Again, because the fact you and I have had this conversation, we had a debate on our other show about this. Quarterback position, for me, and anybody could probably answer this, you know, what does the quarterback position do? It leads your offense. And I think Lamar Jackson leads the offense, the type of offense that they have, whether it be, you know, it's not a full passing. I think a quarterback should be able to pass more and things like that. But I think he does well with the way the offense is. And again, I was looking at his statistics though, too, again, with everything, and still pretty consistent in the last couple years. With accuracy altogether, and maybe it's not because he's not throwing a deep ball. I get that, but when you can run for 10 to 20 yards on your own too without throwing a deep ball, it helps make up for it too. And he's able to, you know, he's a different type of animal, and it's a different type of weapon that's out there. But he does lead the offense pretty well, and again, I think he's still going to keep doing what he's been doing consistently.
Yeah, he definitely helps that team stay relevant, honestly, but. On the other side of it, and I'm going to kind of get
I think the team stays more than relevant. I mean, they're a contender every year. They're not.
If you take Lamar Jackson out of that, off that team, and they have an average quarterback, how well do you think they're going to be?
Then they might be relevant, but they're not going to be what they are now, right? They are now as a contender. They are a contender with Lamar Jackson there.
Yeah, they are.
They're not just relevant.
Well, their offense is relevant. Like, that's the thing. Is like, it's a heavy run offense, and the fact that the difference that Lamar Jackson makes is because with his legs. It's not with his arm. Like, he can hit an open receiver, and that's why he's in the NFL. But really, it's his legs that sets him apart from every other quarterback with mobility. That's the difference maker. That's the dynamic that he brings to your team. It's not his ability to throw the football in every window. It's not his ability to make all critical throws. It's his legs that sets him apart. He can still hit a wide open receiver, of course, but when it comes down to the very fine points of playing quarterback, we've seen evidence of it this past playoff, where when he himself, not the coaches, Lamar himself kept himself in the pocket, trying to find someone to throw to, and just couldn't make anything happen. If he just utilized his legs, I'm telling you, Ravens win that game. But He just tried to stay in the pocket and be a pocket quarterback. There.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was a decision on his part or not. We've got Back to the Stone Age is in the house with us tonight, Joe. Back to the Stone Age. Always bringing the thunder, just like Mike Tackett does. I like it. He says, yo, Anthony Richardson was popping when he got hurt in 2023. Mm-hmm. You men got him as a gentleman's rookie of the year in 2024? Question mark.
A gentleman's rookie of the year.
Yeah, because he didn't really have like a full like year or something like that. So you think he's going to kind of be he's coming out party? I'll just answer mine right away. I don't think so. And a rookie of the year, whatever. I'm not even going to use the lingo on that. I'm just saying I'm not sure what he is yet. So we started to come up with something, but could he keep it consistent through a whole season? I don't know. So I have a lot of question marks, and that's why he slid to like 22 on my list.
So for me, I'll say about AR that I do like his progression. I like what he was able to show in a small window of plays. However, the one thing that just like Jim was mentioned, like I still have questions like him as just a quarterback. Like he's a very dynamic, gifted receiver. Or not receiver, quarterback, who is gigantic, first of all. The guy is just a giant mountain of muscle who can move extremely fast and quick. So when we kind of – and I know the comparison out of Florida was like, oh, he's kind of like Lamar Jackson, but not really. Like, he's not yet there in his throwing capability. So he has a cannon for an arm. Don't get me wrong. But, like, the accuracy at the next level, he has to kind of hone in still. And this season – is going to show us a lot more. He's going to be better than he was his rookie year, even though it was cut short. But I want to see that constant development from AR. I want to see him become a better quarterback at this level. Now, he should be better because it's just it's head and tails elite coaching level. Like the quarterback coaches, everybody at this level are supreme. So I think that he will get better. I just don't know how much better he's going to be as a pure quarterback. So that's my question mark, is if he can excel or get even better distributing the football and continue reading the defense and hitting the windows and all that, I think he could be, you know, in store for a very, very good season because of that deceptiveness with his legs.
Mm-hmm. And I think we both have him at 22 here right now, Joe. So, again, here's my list right here. We talked about Jared Goff with you. You had him up there near two, Joe Burrow. I have him, Jared Goff at 6, Joe Burrow at 7.
Okay.
Just because Jared Goff, I believe in the same thing that you're kind of thinking of. I don't see him, though, as in the, again, the echelon of playmaking ability as Patrick Mahomes and Lamar when they're there. That's why Jared Goff is kind of right there outside of the top five. Still great. Still going to do some great things with this team, and the Detroit Lions are going to go somewhere, and he's a great team leader. And that's why I even have him above Joe Burrow right now. And Joe Burrow is just back because, again, I'm just having questions. I know he's bulked up. I'm looking to see what he's going to do this season, and I want to see it. And I still think, again, top 10, he's going to be there. He's going to be there, Joe.
Oh, he's definitely going to be there.
And then Dak Prescott hovering around 8. That's about where he was last year. So sneakily, he's just been around there, hovering around this spot. So that's why I'd have Dak Prescott there at number 8. I believe the same things you believe. It's funny because I have to defend him sometimes. I hate it because I'm a Giants fan. Just because you got these Cowboys fans that love it and hate it at the same freaking time. He's getting into the playoffs. I'm sorry you haven't won, but some of it was other issues. You know, it's not just all Dak Prescott's fault, okay? It's a team thing. You can't say all of a sudden it's a team win on this or that, but when he loses, it's Dak Prescott's fault. Right. That's all the reason why he can't win the big game.
Does Dak – my number one question is, does Dak play defense?
No, he doesn't. Okay, and that's the problem.
I'm just checking because there was a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries on that side of the ball for them. So kind of derailed that the level that they were playing.
Any other team than last year that they played and stuff like that, if they're putting up 32 points again, they're winning.
Right.
They just happened to play the Packers, and they just did 40 points. So,
that's right.
I mean, it was what do you want? You know what I'm saying? So so then we're getting to our next row. I have Derek Carr at number 9. Okay. You have Derek Carr number 6. Mm-hmm. Okay, and again, people are probably wondering what the frig we're smoking right now. But again, we've talked about this, and I know I'm just going to bring up my point first because some people might think of you as a Raider homer or whatever.
If I'm a Raider homer, I don't have Carr.
Well, no, you don't. You don't. But he's been there. And so what I'm kind of saying is, again, I've looked at the statistics for the past decade, and he's there. He is there in a lot of the conversation in the top 10 and consistently getting touchdowns with limited interceptions. You know what I mean? Quietly. And a great completion percentage, too, on top of it. Plus, averaging about 3,000 yards, you know, here and there. Plus, you know, getting near that thing. But he's always dogged. Like you said, he's just got this stigma about him or something like that. Maybe it was
the media
on the Raiders
like
or whatever. But he's consistently playing there. And I think when his career is all said and done, you're going to look at his league averages with everything and stuff and be like, wow, overall, he's had a really good career. It's just been on, you know, a losing team or whatnot, and just, you know, not been able to get to the upper echelon and get that career victory. Like he was on the trajectory to do just a few seasons ago when he got injured into the playoffs, and then they got demolished by the Broncos there. So he's been quietly doing this and getting dogged the whole time. So Derek Carr, I say he's got to be right there in the top 10, and that's why I have him here at 8.
I just want to touch on Tua real quick because he's actually right before – I have him right before Derek.
Yep.
And obviously, like you
– I have number
you
two.
Alluded to Tua as like – because it's a high-flying offense. Like it's like the modern, you know, greatest show on turf. Like for all you guys that have seen the Rams and their greatness, which was called the greatest show on turf, Tua in the Miami Dolphins, that's the modern era of that version.
Right.
So they have immense potential every single year. Like you look like they locked up Jalen Waddle, still going to be there. A little bit of question marks on Tyreek Hill right now because he's going to be due for a contract. Don't know what that's going to entail, but definitely going to be there for at least this year. And they bring in old man Odell to kind of fill out that starting receiver roster, which if Odell can stay healthy, and I know that's been like the, you know, enigma that is Odell. Like, is this going to finally be the year where he could stay healthy even though he's mid-30s? Mm-hmm. We'll see. But if he can stay healthy all year, this offense, just with just the receiving core that's at you know, availability here, Tua can really slice and dice up defenses like no other in this offense. And you add all those elements along with the backfield that he has, you know, Devon Achane, like that guy is insane. So my thing is like that Dolphins offense, everybody knows how explosive it is. It looks like it's better on paper, and it's going to help Tua get to a whole other level. We already seen him last year. Mid-year last year, he was being talked about MVP race. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, people seem to forget that, with the injury that he sustained and some games that he missed. But that offense was humming when he was in there. So I got to say that Tua is another guy. I have him 5. And then Carr at 6 for me. Carr has been extremely successful throughout his career. He even holds some records that people might not even know about most comebacks in the NFL. Like, this guy's been amazing. Most of his career with the Raiders, of course. And here's what I'll say about Derek Carr. This is how you know you have a very, very good quarterback, is when you make the playoffs with literally one wide receiver that can get it done. That was Hunter Renfrow. Now, a lot of you might not remember Hunter Renfrow. And yeah, he was a starter at one point. Now he's a free agent. But he was a starter, and he was his go-to guy. The offensive line wasn't that great, kind of mediocre. And they had Josh Jacobs, but that was literally the offense. That was it. And still climbed back into the race despite all the distractions that year with Henry Ruggs getting into trouble, going to jail, with John Gruden being banished from the Raiders. And with all that being said and all that thrown at Derek Carr, for him to keep a level head and still grind and literally forced this team to make the playoffs, that to me is a great quarterback. He put it on his shoulders and got it done. And now he's with the Saints, and I got to tell you, thank God Pete Carmichael got fired, because that's literally what was holding back the Saints' offense. Now you have a new offense with Carr, with all these weapons like Chris Olave, A.T. Perry, who was from last year. He's going to finally start for the Saints. And there's a lot to love about this offense. Yeah. And I think that Carr is going to take another big step. Now, you look at last year with all the distraction and all the arguments between his own receivers and the offensive coordinator, still threw 3,800 yards.
Yeah, right.
Still had 68% completion. Mm-hmm. Still had 25 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions.
Yeah. Yep.
This guy can get it done, and he could be in the top 10. And dare I say it, in the top 5 if it all shakes out right. So Carr is definitely got to be seen as one of these kind of guys that are threats in this league. And it just sucks that some of the situations that he's been in has kind of held back his praise or held back, you know, what he's capable of accomplishing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, I hear you with that again. That's why, for me, I have him just out in the top 10 at number 9. Let's look at your list again one more time. Let's bring up the fact that now you have C.J. Stroud here, too. And everybody's going to probably jump on the C.J. Stroud train right now. What kind of season he had last year, bringing the Houston Texans right directly to the playoffs after being a losing franchise for so long. And expect more, right? Like, hey, if this is what he's got, let's see it again this year. And he puts himself even number 3 of best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So, I mean,
yeah,
I think
it's
a little crazy. And a little like, this guy needs to be humbled maybe a little bit. So it's funny that you have him there right behind Derek Carr. So is that what you're saying, that maybe he just takes that step back, which is again, or you think like some guys are going to figure him out, or is just that just another consistent year, but just not where these guys are going to be?
No, I mean, the thing with C.J. Stroud is it could go up. It could go up. Like, you look at what he was able to accomplish with Nico Collins, with Dalton Schultz last year. You know, that young running, the young backfield that he had. Tank Dell sadly got injured halfway through the year. Look at what he's got at his disposal now.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy offensive line, an improved offensive line. Oh, yeah, they got a receiver by the name of Diggs, like Stephon Diggs, that guy who was formerly of Buffalo. Yeah, now he's in Houston.
I'm going to come.
So you have Diggs, you have Nico Collins, you got Tank Dell coming back healthy, Dalton Schultz has a tight end. Like, excitement is kicking up a big notch in Houston. So with that all being said, you got to love the roster that they have. D'Amico Ryans really has this team kind of honed in and focused on just winning. And mm-hmm. it is just a super young team that is just absolutely dangerous. They were dangerous last year, which was Stroud's rookie year. So I can only imagine that Stroud is going to be even better. Mm-hmm. Now, how much better? We'll wait and see. Obviously, injuries come into play. Obviously, like, defenses have a full season of game tape on CJ. They're going to look for tendencies. They're going to look to see if he can overcome the whatever they throw at him. So, yeah, there's some variables to it, but threw for just over 4,000 yards, right? 63.9% completion percentage, which isn't high, but it's not terrible. And on top of it all, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, took control of the football, didn't turn the ball over hardly at all. So there's a lot to like with C.J. Stroud and his ascension in the league. Now, the second year is going to be a critical year for him, just like you mentioned, Jim,
mm-hmm.
is where now defenses have all the game tape on them. They're going to look for tendencies. They're going to look for something that he likes to do and try to take it away. And let's see how Stroud handles that this year, because he's got the team to win. He's got the team to even win the division, and who knows how far they can go in the playoffs if they make it. So I really like Stroud, and I even though this is only his second year, he's only got a year of stats, really, of production, I still think that he's going to have another tremendous year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've got him there right there with Jordan Love here too. So now you're expecting Jordan Love to kind of come back here, and he was up there, I think, in the top 5 even in yardage and things like that. But technically, I think how Back to the Stone Age wanted to put it as, you know, is you know, gentleman's rookie season, mm-hmm. you know, here for him, because again, it's first time actually as a starter,
yeah,
and lighting it up and doing really well. But how much are we to expect that it's going to happen again and keep it consistently going? You would hope so, again, because what I liked about Jordan Love is the fact, the same kind of demeanor, cool, calm, collect. It seemed like nothing ever fazed him, even when they were down in the game or in that tight game in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Nothing seemed like they even fazed him. He just shrugged it off and just kept going. Stone cold view too when he played the Cowboys and when they won that game in a high scoring game.
Right.
That's what I like about him so far. And again, no turnovers really, you know, very limited, looking pretty good. But again, for me, I put him back further on. Mm-hmm. Let me look back at my list again, cause I'm not even sure, but I have him down further at 15 just because, again, with some of these other guys that are involved in the league, I'm just not sure. I see some of them bouncing back. Some others have been injured. They're coming back from injury. Just not sure if people are going to figure out Jordan Love a little bit here and where it can go. Again, like I said, splitting hairs from out of top 10 to, mm-hmm. to 15 even, like I said, so don't kill me over it. It's whoever you like there. You know what I'm saying? It could be any one of those guys here.
Well, it's a lot of situations and variables right. that we're talking about, and we're projecting too. So it's a lot. Some of it is guesswork.
Yeah, we're all going to probably be
so
wrong.
Like,
it's better than Barstool's, though.
I mean, I got to say that our lists are probably going to be more right than theirs. Yeah. But I will say this about Jordan Love is the reason why I have him a little higher than maybe some other people is mm-hmm. because I expect him to fully take that next step. He's been sitting behind a quarterback by the name of Aaron Rodgers for years, and now it's his time to shine. Last year, he did just that. Now, a lot of people were not anticipating a great year that he had. Maybe like a good year or average year, like because it was his first season, but he really opened up some eyes last season. And because of that, in a very high throwing offense, but they threw 579 attempts.
Yeah,
that is a lot. So,
right.
But The completion percentage wasn't as high as I thought it was. It was 64%, 4,100 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. So you got the touchdown to interception ratio, which is tremendous.
Yeah.
But everything else is kind of like a little bit of like above average to average type of stats. So like for Love, I just think he's going to take that next step. And with a very young team too, this is another team like Houston that their quarterback, the receivers, even their offensive line now, they've kind of turned that over to a little bit younger guys and upgraded there. So they're ready to go. And they're ready to go for the long haul. This isn't just like, oh, well, we got a tight window to fit this in. This is a very young team, and they're all gelling in. The chemistry is through the roof with these receivers. So I think that Love is going to take that next step. And then, oh, by the way, their backfield got stronger, got better.
Yeah.
They added Josh Jacobs, who was the rushing king a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And then they also got back A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
Like, come on. A two-headed monster like that? Yeah, like, oh, geez. So I just think that Green Bay's offense, on paper anyway, right now, the way it looks, that Love is not only going to take a next step, but he's going to be so much better than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's why for me, I had him like kind of in the middle. Like I see around the same, but again, they did help out that running game here too to help him out. I think some of the question marks here too, where some people would scratch their heads now, is as we break into your top 10. We talked about C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love. You're expecting a lot here. You've got Kirk Cousins now. Do you see him? And it's above Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. So these two guys still not cracking the top 10 right here. Patrick Mahomes does, but Lamar Jackson on the outside looking in. Then Aaron Rodgers, who was actually my number one that I'm projecting for this coming season. Kirk Cousins, you're expecting him to do something here in Atlanta and come back and kind of be stronger here?
I expect him to be stronger, but not as strong as if he stayed in Minnesota. And the reason why I say that is because you already had a proven commodity, and a lot of people view him as the number one wide receiver in Justin Jefferson, but you also had Addison. You know what I mean? And the chemistry was amazing between Kirk and Justin. So it's like they had a very good offense, and if Kirk stayed, then I would probably have Kirk higher than I do now. But the fact that he went to a different team, it's going to be a different offense. It's with all young guys. Kyle Pitts, a tight end. Drake London is no Justin Jefferson. Bijan Robinson in the backfield. So he's got a nice backfield to work with. And Tyler Algier also backing him up. So offensive line is very solid. Like, there's a lot to like with Kirk being kind of going over to Atlanta. I think he's going to do extremely well in Atlanta. But I just don't – and that's why he made my top 10. He made that ninth spot. But he's – not going to be any higher for me because of the uncertainty of what happens if not everybody gets on the same page the first year there in Atlanta. You know what I mean? Like Drake London, I read this route, Kirk read that route, and that's why the ball got intercepted. Or I ran this way, it became an incomplete pass. You know what I mean? So he's got to redevelop that all over again with this young, you know, receiving core. And as of right now in practice, and I know it's practice, but Kyle Pitts and him seem to be on the same page all the time. That it seems to be like maybe that might be his favorite target as they approach training camp. That could change, but you got to like to see that being a new quarterback on a new team. So that's why I have Kirk Cousins at 9 and not any higher. And I have him ahead of Patrick Mahomes for simply the fact of efficiency. Kirk Cousins is just more efficient than Patrick Mahomes, and I know some of you might think it's blasphemy to say that, but the stats don't lie. The play on the foot on the football field doesn't lie. Now,
what?
Mahomes is more clutch than Kirk. He makes clutch plays. He makes unscripted plays that Kirk can't do, and that's kind of the trade-off that you get. So, but Kirk Cousins, his stats speak for themselves. He has better stats as a quarterback than Mahomes, and that's why he's at 9.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so then after that, you've got Lamar Jackson here at 11. And now, what's your take on Lamar Jackson here while he's out? I mean, we probably heard it a few different times, but.
So with Lamar Jackson, here's the thing, is Lamar Jackson is a good quarterback, right? And he threw for, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good ratio.
Yep.
3,600 yards, 67% completion percentage.
Yep.
That's very good. That's high.
Mm-hmm.
In a rushing type of offense. Now, here's the problem that I have with Lamar. And like we stated before, it is Lamar Jackson is not going to be able, we've seen it numerous times, he's not going to be able to take the team on his shoulders. And if he is forced to throw the football time and time again and be that pocket quarterback, he's failed every single opportunity. What he can do is be that enigma, be that dynamic playmaker with his legs, threaten the run and throw it over the top, or just take off and be that jitterbug, tough guy to tackle in the open field, and then possibly run it in for the score. That's mm-hmm. the difference of Lamar Jackson, is the fact that he can manipulate the defense with his legs.
Yeah, I could even see that. Yeah, because if he adds that little bit of Patrick Mahomes-esque type of stuff to him, like you're kind of even bringing up, that that would be vital. I mean, but what you're saying, like it's things like that, because he doesn't do that enough. I think if he did like kind of fake the pop or take off running, have the defense come up on him, and then he just pops it over the top, that would be amazing. But yeah, I don't think he really does that.
Has that in his game. Now Mahomes is different. Mahomes is more clutch, uncharacteristic plays that people don't usually get to see that. Like, Mahomes is in his own category aspect.
Yeah.
Lamar's different. Lamar, his thing is his legs and his speed. By the way, he lost 20 pounds this offseason.
Yeah,
so now he's 205 pounds. Yeah. He's lighter than Jaden Daniels right now.
Yeah.
Didn't we complain about that, about Daniels?
Yeah.
Now Lamar lost 20 pounds willingly.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope – listen, that's – it's kind of like a danger zone there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he takes a really good shot that – he might get injured because he's so light. But anyway, Lamar, that's why Lamar for me is a little bit lower, is because when you're breaking down the quarterbacks and everything, that's the one thing that Lamar always misses, is that he's never going to be in the top 10 of quarterbacks because he just can't do what some of these other high-end quarterbacks can do, distributing the football in the pocket. But that's not what Lamar is. Lamar is a dynamic player that can utilize his legs with the throwing ability. So that's why he's lower than me than obviously a lot of people. A lot of people have Lamar in the top five.
Yep.
I just can't see putting him in the top five when it's all said and done.
All right, looking at your list here now, we've covered kind of everybody here. Before we get to Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers on your list, I was bring up the fact that you have Justin Herbert at 18. I have Justin Herbert right here at 10, in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
What brings you to see that Justin Herbert's going to take a step back? Because again, that team has been consistent throughout his career here. Mm-hmm. Whether it be he was injured even last year, still putting up 4,000 yards, still the accuracy is there too. Limited turnovers. They just can't get to that spot, almost like what Dak Prescott in the Cowboys. Same mm-hmm. type of deal. They just run into the buzzsaw that is, Patrick Mahomes or the Ravens or whatever. And, really bad coaching, too, though. It put them in terrible positions. Defense being terrible.
You mean going for it on fourth down is a bad thing?
In their own,
zone?
Yeah, yeah. It's not very good, even though the analytics tell you that. Fine. Let's just go for it.
Did they even have a punter on the roster?
You would think they didn't. I could have been punter for them, probably. I would have loved that. Just sit out there just and watch. I don't have to get on the field.
That's right.
Why do you have him at 18 here? Is it really that you fear that with that Jim Harbaugh offense that he's not going to be as productive?
I don't know
how he's going to take a step back that far.
Honestly, I don't know how you couldn't be concerned with it, because he does run an extremely heavy football. Loves to be physical, loves to run it down your throat. And here's the thing, is that if the running game's working, he's not going away from it. He's going to keep running the football, which is going to take less and less opportunity, going to give less and less opportunities to Justin Herbert. So my thinking with Herbert too is we don't even know how this offense is going to be fully orchestrated, and who's the other receivers?
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of all their vets. They got rid of. They have Quentin Johnson right now as their number one receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, mind you, if you remember last year, I know it was his rookie year, but had a hard time catching the football even when he was open. Didn't run extremely good routes. Like, there's a lot that they got to work with that kid. And then on top of it all, you have unproven guys. You have Russell Wilson. forgetting the Michigan wide receiver that they drafted. I think his last name is Wilson, but first name's different. But anyway, you have that kid coming in. He's a rookie. Now, I think he's going to be a stud at the next level, but you don't have enough depth. That's my whole thing is like I think they brought in DJ Chark too and added him to the roster, but that dude's been injured the last 2 years. Is he going to stay healthy even? So there's a lot of question marks with the receiving core for me. Offensive line is amazing. They definitely got the offensive line to block for days, to create running lanes and all that. But for me, Herbert is not going to be asked to throw as much as he was before. The offense is going to change, and by doing that, it's going to decline his stat numbers. I'm not saying that Herbert can't be, you know, a guy in the top 15 or even the bottom tier of 10, but I'm saying with this change of offense that's going to be very different, I think it's going to take away a lot of opportunities that Herbert once had, and that's going to take away his production as a passer.
All right. Sorry, we're just getting to some of the comments here, but this is from William Dan Pilar. Here you go. On Rumble. On Rumble. We got a Rumble comment here. He says, like when he's talking about Lamar Jackson, we were talking about Lamar Jackson a little bit. He says, plus, as the season wears on, you lose weight. Lamar coming in lighter is not a good thing.
No.
So, yeah. Well, I started to think about with, you know, me saying with Tua. Tua's a bit lighter now, but I don't think it's going to kill him as much as, like, because he packed on pounds to try and take impact so he doesn't get injured and things like that. Yeah. But I don't think it's like a – like, there's a difference between what's going on with Lamar Jackson here, too, and then saying light as a feather and just losing a little bit of weight here.
Yeah, it's not even like it's a disease that he incurred and he's just losing weight because of it. Buck can come back.
Yeah, he just didn't want to –
I want to be quicker and faster.
Yeah.
But be able to get disintegrated in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I'm going to turn sideways and then I'm as light as a piece of paper and you can't see me.
You can't see me.
So yeah, there you go. So comment about Lamar. Keep the comments going. Whether you agree with us or not, too, let us know. Yeah, you guys are definitely being way too kind out there right now. You're silent. Let us know if you hate on what the hell we're talking about right now, or if you've got your own list, throw it out there. Let's see it. We're happy to look at your list as well.
I do have to say one thing about Mahomes, though, and it goes along with the argument that you were putting together for Mahomes being lower than pretty much everybody's list. Is the fact that he had the most deep throws that were going to be interceptions, by the way. They were going to be interceptions, and they were called back on a penalty.
Back. Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just letting it happen. So, in essence, his 27 touchdowns to 14 interception ratio could have been 27 touchdowns to 23 interceptions. So it's to me, and he's the most out of anybody in this league, and it's not by a short margin, by a big margin. Right. The next quarterback on that list is Josh Allen, but it's by a long shot. So just something to think about when people kind of praise Mahomes and think he's such a elite talent, because that's the name that gets tagged onto him.
Right. Yeah. There's still a little bit of flaws in there. He's still won. You can't take away what he's been won. He's really good. Again, we get that. But we're looking at a lot of different things here. So you brought up the fact of Josh Allen here. After my top 10 with Justin Herbert, people could be surprised about me that with having CJ Stroud at 11 and then Josh Allen 12, Barstool had Josh Allen number 3. So they had Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen number 3.
Right.
You and I both aren't sold on Josh Allen. CJ Stroud, again, I just kept him here outside the top 10 because I think he's more down to earth than what he thinks he is, you know, in the league. And I think still that coming back from that rookie season, it's going to be tough to match what he does, and he possibly could. But I think some of these other guys are just going to perform just as well. So not dogging him at all. Just out of the top 10. But Josh Allen, that would, I guess, at this point look like a major dogging of Josh Allen. I have him at 12. You have him at 14.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why do you think that he's only back there at 14 and you don't see him like a lot of these guys see him as some of this upper, you know, tier quarterbacks in the league?
Well, it's not that I don't see him as an upper tier quarterback. Just because I rank him at 12 or 14 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. Josh Allen to me is not a complete quarterback, and we've seen spurts of this, whether it be in the playoffs, whether it be pushing for the playoffs, pushing to win the division. But this guy hasn't been able to put it all together, and you just lost your favorite target in Stephon Diggs. So here's my biggest thing. And oh yeah, by the way, your second target, Gabe Davis, he's in Jacksonville right now. They're no longer there. You got a rookie in Keon Coleman, you know, that you're putting him in at number one receiver. You have Khalil Shakir, who has been an ascending talent for the Buffalo Bills, who's been kind of in the rotation, but now it looks like he's going to get his starting chance. And then with that all being said, that the Bills are very pass happy. They're just shy of 580 attempts last year. Just shy. And now you lose not one but two weapons. You replace them with a rookie and a third string, fourth string receiver that has been playing well, but now you're going to finally give him a shot this year. And last year you threw 29 touchdowns and 18 interceptions. You did well in the passing yards category. You had 4,300 yards. That's nice. Completion percentage wasn't as high as I was hoping, though. It was 66%.
Mm-hmm.
So with that all being said, and the fact that you lost two big-time weapons, and they're not really the people that they replaced them with are not scaring anybody right now. You got an unproven rookie, Khalil. I mean, you got a nice pair of tight ends there. You got Dalton Kincaid, and you have Dawson Knox, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook in the backfield, cool. But this offense, to me, is going to change a lot this year.
What am I doing here?
And because of that, I just have Josh Allen so much lower than everybody because it's so unpredictable of how the Bills are going to come back from the losses that they've sustained.
Right. And you just basically summed it up into just the few words there, the fact that inconsistency. You know, and I talked about it a little bit last year when you started to see some of this. And his first year, a little wild. He has the strength, but the inconsistency and the turnovers. They think that working with Brian Daboll kind of straightened him out. Now he's thinking, you know, a lot of people look at him in a different light and with a winner. Paired up with Stephon Diggs, looked really good. But again, last year, tried to put a lot on his shoulders, and then that gunslinger mentality, which I said is, again, for me, that's a term that just means you're really reckless with it, and it showed it there. You showed it. You got some touchdowns, but you also have double-digit interceptions, and a lot of those interceptions happened when they needed them most in the game. Mm. And well, he's one of those guys that you're going to live and die by him right now. And without having the talent on this team that you did even last year, it's a lot tougher because then now you're asking to put it even more on his shoulders, and what's he going to do then? You know what I mean? When he can't get it to some of these guys that are there, and then, like you said, they haven't been here, don't have the camaraderie, you know, and the that he had with Diggs and things like that. So it's going to be tough for him and harder on him. And I've seen him even in interviews so far that he's taking it upon himself, and he's thinking about that, and he thinks himself has to get better, which is fine. But again, a guy that's been in the league this long that still is questioning himself so many times and often in the media, out in the open too, you got to be thinking like, man, you got to think better than this. You can't be thinking like this. You got to look past it and move on. And the fact that we have questions, I think, about Josh Allen at this point, I think he is what he is right here.
Mm.
So, and that's why, again, I don't see him at the top because, again, we still have these questions. We like the physicality, his body type, to be able to hurdle guys and stuff. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to live and you're going to die by him just the same.
The one thing that I wanted to bring up is, so how big was Brian Daboll leaving Buffalo for Josh Allen? Mm-hmm. Because Josh Allen was starting to ascend and be super successful, and then Daboll leaves, and you saw the decline. Not like a big drop, but you saw a slight decline in his production, in his development. So, man, you know, Brian Daboll was kind of a big deal there in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we thought they were.
Yep. And so that's Josh Allen. You got him at 14. I have him at 12.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting to the talks of – I have Kirk Cousins, by the way, at 14.
Okay.
So just to bring that again, yeah, Kirk Cousins, I think he comes back. plays with, you know, the Falcons really well. But again, he's kind of been hovering around that top 10 right around here. So I think Kirk Cousins is going to be just the same. You have Matthew Stafford at 13. I have him right there at 13, I think, as well. Yes. So we agree at Matthew Stafford in the middle, just about 13. But before we get to him, I just want to bring up the fact that Jalen Hurts I have at 16, and you have Jalen Hurts at 15.
Mm-hmm.
What do you notice in Jalen Hurts, the fact that he's dropped down this far? Because, again, C.J. Stroud has Jalen Hurts as top five. And even with some stats he had 2 years ago looked really good, and he was up there in the top 10. Took a little bit of a step last year with more turnovers and closer to that turnover and touchdown ratio, like you see, almost 50-50. Not so good. And it was when kind of he put more – I don't know if it was the way the offense was trying to do it. It seemed, again, they should have – they had a good running back there. They did. Now they even have Saquon Barkley, so they should run more this season. But it seemed like too many times they tried to put the game or the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands and say, take us there and do it. And he really didn't get it done. And he had a lot of turnovers, which brought up even, you know, a lot of mishaps that where they were just barely getting first downs or even getting to those so many that we know about fourth down turn, you know, conversions to where they were doing the tush push so often that they went for it.
Right.
And it was successful, but a really down year compared to what he was, you know, not really ascending, keeping two, stringing two seasons together. And is that what you're kind of seeing, the same way what I kind of saw?
So I'm not looking at past production. I'm looking only at this past season to kind of get an idea of what he did last year and then projecting for this upcoming season. So my thing with Jalen Hurts is simply that he just wasn't efficient last season. And I think that it has to do a little bit with the play calling. I think that when they had Miles Sanders in the backfield, a couple of years ago, Jalen Hurts played better. Jalen Hurts was, like, on fire. He was just incredibly highly productive and making all the right decisions and distributing the football to Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, like, with ease. Like, there was no kind of really hang up on that offense. And then you bring in a different running back. And it was an upgrade. I'm going to be honest. It was an upgrade. But at the same time, you go into last season and lackluster a little bit. Jalen Hurts didn't look like himself. The offensive play calling was a little bit different. It was kind of going away from the running. They were almost going away from that balanced type of offense to more pass happy. 538 passing attempts last year. And it took away from that dynamic of having that running game, or at least having the threat of having a running game, to where it made them one-dimensional. And at times when they put all the pressure on Hurts, the shoulders say, hey, we're going to give you the ball, you know, and make it happen. Well, didn't really work out well for Hurts because he only had 65% completion percentage, which isn't a bad percentage, but it's not as high-end as some of these guys in the top 10. And you got to wonder, like, with the guy's abilities like Hurts, he should be up there in the 67, 68, 69, maybe even 70. But low yardage, 3,800 passing yards, 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Very, very disappointing year for Hurts. So because of that decline in production last year, and now you look at the team this year and you're like, oh, well, they got better. They got better on defense. Their offense is super solid. They re-upped A.J. Brown. They re-upped Devonta Smith. They're good. They got Saquon Barkley now. They should be even better, right? Well, I think it's going to depend on the play calling. So because of the uncertainty there, because of how I'm not happy with the development of Hurts to this point, because I think he was on fire and now it seems like he's making a wrong turn, I have him lower than most.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking, the same thing again. I think he's a very good player. I think
he is very good player.
Yeah, and I believe in him. And yeah, when I believed him when a lot of people weren't believing
him. I want him for my quarterback.
And what's funny is even DeAndre Swift last season sneakily had over 1,000 yards rushing. He had 1,046 yards. You wouldn't think that the way that kind of offense looked, like you said, seemed like they went away from the run a lot of different times when it was successful. And it showed you that it was successful.
Yeah.
It just key moments in the game to where it turned it around, and they had that losing streak in the tail end of the season to kind of blew it for them.
Yeah. Jim, the Raiders, if they took the approach Atlanta did this year in the draft, mm-hmm. they would have drafted Hurts, and I would have been a very happy guy by now.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't. All right, so now we're at the middle of the field here. So it's kind of give or take with some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You have Russell Wilson at 16 here, right behind Jalen Hurts. Like I said, Justin Herbert slid behind, but you think it's because of the way the offense is going to go mm-hmm. there. Let's look at mine quick just to see. Kirk Cousins, I said 14, 15. Jalen Hurts there.
Oh, so
we both have Russell Wilson right here.
We both have Stafford at 13.
Stafford at 13, yeah, too. So yeah. Stafford, for me, again, very good player, and I've talked him up a lot of different times. Again, he's like the quickest quarterback to have over 10,000 yards, I think, or something. Mm-hmm. Consistent. But, again, I think he's that middle of the road right now to where we're seeing where some of those injuries are kind of piling up a little bit. He's still performing. But I think he's nearing the end of his career pretty soon, I think. So I think he's just going to still stay just outside the top 10, not saying I'm dogging him at all because he's still going to produce. That Rams team is going to be good still, but that's where I kind of see him right now, kind of middle of the road right now, a little better.
Yeah, very competitive player and a really good quarterback. Like,
right.
I just don't want people out there to think that we hate these guys if they got them in the middle of the ranking system or whatnot, but Matt Stafford definitely more than capable of winning you the Super Bowl, as proven.
Yes.
And also a guy who I actually kind of don't view him at the end of his career just yet. Yeah, he had a couple injuries last year. But, again, he's coming into this season with a very healthy and upgraded offensive line. And he's got his boys Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua to throw to. And then also you have the emergence, I will say, of Demaryius Robinson, mm-hmm. Who's kind of made a name for himself in L.A. all of a sudden. I thought the guy was going to end up leaving the NFL, but miraculously came back. So Tyler Higbee, obviously, at tight end. So I think the Rams' offense is in good shape, and their defense is very young and very tenacious. So I think the Rams are going to be around with Stafford for at least the next couple of years.
All right, so let's move on to around this middle of the pack type of guys here, quick before we wrap this up in a little bit. All right, you got Baker Mayfield at 19, Aiden O'Connell here, Will Levis. All right,
mm-hmm.
I have Baker Mayfield at 18, right behind Russell Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, then Deshaun Watson, then Will Levis. So we got a shuffling between 17s between the same dudes, just mm-hmm. about. Okay, Russell Wilson, I think I have just a tick lower than what you do. And I think he's going to stay consistent. He's going to play well right there too for Pittsburgh. But I think that's where it's a nice happy spot for him, right around that area. For me, for Deshaun Watson, I think he slides just because I haven't seen it yet. You know, I would like to see Deshaun Watson. It's kind of funny when you talk about him before the trade and sitting out. You know, he's top five, you know, right there. And now how he's mm-hmm. just slid because of injury and things like that. And not be able to be back to where he was, that's why he's kind of back here. Because this is just a big question mark for me right now. I don't know what the hell to expect from this guy. I would like to see him get back to where he was, somewhere close to that, but I just don't know. And like what Mike Tackett said right now, the fact that if he doesn't play well, you might see Jameis Winston there as a starter. So that's what kind of questions I think everybody across the league has, and that's why he kind of slid for me. Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield, you have Trevor a bit further down. I believe a little bit more in Trevor Lawrence, but they're around, I think they could be swappable, I think, with Baker Mayfield and to that together, for at least in my opinion.
Yeah, so what I'll say about Watson is because here's why I'm kind of a little bit higher on Watson than maybe you, because before his injury, the team was 5-1, and that was because of him as a quarterback being better. You just flat out being a better quarterback and a guy that we saw closer to what he was in Houston. Threw for 1,100 yards in six games, seven touchdowns, four interceptions. Completion percentage you'd like to see higher, but it's only 61. But I feel like Watson is trending in the right direction to where now that he has yet another offseason to kind of get back into the frame of mind, get back into the swing of things. And honestly, for the first time, he has this whole offseason to work on chemistry with the guys. Oh, by the way, they also traded for Jerry Jeudy. Like, they added to the receiving core. Like, there's no more excuses with this Cleveland offense. There you can say, oh, they have a weakness here. They got a weakness there. Not anymore. You got Nick Chubb returning healthy. That's a big addition right because now you have the running back returning who former rushing champ, guy that definitely gets the job done, and a guy that strikes fear into defenses. So that's going to play hand in hand with Watson, and every quarterback would love that. But I just think that Watson's going to have a much better year. He's going to have a healthier year with better protection up front. And this team now has really assembled a very nice – it's a win-now mentality now in Cleveland. Is they like, hey, we got the quarterback in a big trade. We got Nick Chubb back healthy. We got all these receivers to throw to. There's nothing holding us back now. Our defense is second to none. Mm-hmm. Our defense is great last year. So now we got to go put it together and win the games. So I'm a little higher on Watson's productivity this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm. For me now, Will Levis, we have him roughly, I think, in the same spot, around 21, exactly the same. And for me, that's just because I think he's going to do great, and Brian Callahan's offense is going to work great for him, mm-hmm. but I'm just not sure again. We'll see what we get. I just want to see the consistency. Started to look good last season. I'm looking to see that trend upwards. But when we get to the guys that are roughly in this area, that's where I kind of see him falling right now. It would be a major turnaround if he gets up towards this top five, you know, list or top 10 or something like that. So that's why I see him right at the cusp of 20, mm-hmm. still middle of the road type of deal or whatever, but still not terrible. You know, I mean, we're splitting hairs, I think, at this point with some of these guys.
And you have to at this point.
Right.
It's like murky water at this point where some guys could be good. Some guys might falter a little bit, but they're all good quarterbacks. Like, they're all going to be good in their own way. So I'll just say for Will Levis, to me, I think he's going to have a big kind of like comeback year. Like, yeah, last year he got derailed with the injury and all that, but I just loved what I saw early on from Will Levis. I saw a guy that the game wasn't too big for, very poised, definitely commanded and led that offense. So with that all being said, now you look at that team from a year ago, much different. It's not just DeAndre Hopkins, and that's it. Now you got Hopkins, you got Calvin Ridley, who they brought in, you got Tyler Boyd, a veteran receiver that they brought in. And then everyone's like, oh, what happened to Treylon Burks? Well, Burks is going to have to earn his time on the football field because he's had sustained many injuries over and over. Now it's time for the vets to step in other words. And then you couple that all up with the fact that much improved offensive line from last year, Tony Pollard is now their starting running back. To team him up with Tyjae Spears, a very electric scat back type of runner, that's going to be a fun offense to watch. So that being said, I got to say Will Levis, to me, is in store for a very productive year. I don't know how – it could be better than where we have him ranked.
It could be.
We're not that's talking top 10, but we're talking that he could move up a few spots for sure with the offense that they've managed to put together. So I like what Will Levis showed early on, and I just think that with all the upgrades that they made on this offense, there's no question that he's got to be better.
Okay, so let's take a look at the last, you know, couple of batches here. Before we get to rookies, we kind of put towards the back end of this, okay? Yeah. And again, for me, I think it's just because of questions and stuff, and we're still even hearing stuff out of camps and how these guys are coming along. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett just came out and said that Drake May is really advancing quickly, so that's good for them to see what happens with him. But again, they are rookies, so we would be very surprised, you know, if we do get another like C.J. Stroud type of thing happen with some of these guys. All right, so Richardson we have at the same area. All right, so now you go with Sam Darnold and Geno Smith. I'm with the Aiden O'Connell and, you know, Daniel Jones around here. You have Trevor Lawrence behind there, right in front of Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. What do you see in Sam Darnold that kind of has him above some of these guys? Again, we're splitting hairs. But for me, Darnold, I think, again, yes, he's doing enough to kind of win that job right now, but it's kind of just warming the seat right now for him to eventually be replaced right now. Not saying that he's not going to play well or do enough to be that starter, and yes, he is looking for redemption. I get that. But throughout his career in this league, he really hasn't shown that he can be that guy, and he's kind of in – that spot where the Geno Smiths, the Daniel Jones even kind of deal. So, I mean, some of these names are just interchangeable. I'm just, you know, kind of seeing why you even put them there in front of a Geno Smith, or what you, if you expect a little more from what Geno Smith has done, you know, 2 years ago, yes, but then a little tick downwards last year, but, you know, staying consistent.
I feel like it's a big tick down for Geno Smith. For a team that, yeah, he had 20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, but 64 completion percentage, way down. Mm-hmm. And Geno Smith looked like he started to, you know, decline back to his old self. And you could make the argument like it was because of like maybe Abraham Lucas on the right, at right tackle is missing and Charles Cross was making. Sure, mm-hmm. that affects the quarterback play, mm-hmm. obviously. But I just think that team, other than that, that's really all you could say that changed last year. And for Geno to have like kind of like almost like that sneaky, you know, Pro Bowl type of season that he once had, to now coming to what he did last year, it's like, okay, is Geno, was he a one-hit wonder at this point? And it makes me question Seattle going forward. And Geno Smith, like, I'm not sure, is he the efficient quarterback? Is he going to be efficient enough this upcoming year? That, to me, is going to be a little undecided. Now, they do get both tackles returning back healthy and all that. But I don't think he's going to have as big of an impact, bottom line, as like maybe what we got going on there?
As big as an impact as what, Daniel Jones or these guys or Sam Darnold or?
Sam Darnold to me is like kind of the dark horse, honestly, in this whole conversation. Not a lot of people are going to predict that he's going to win the job. I'm telling you right now, he's going to win the job. I'm telling you right now, for the first time in Sam Darnold's history, in his career, mm-hmm. he has someone that trusts him. He has someone that believes in him. And he fits this offense extremely well. It kind of helps that you got Justin Jefferson to throw to. Kind of helps you got Addison, TJ Hockenson. So I really think that Kevin O'Connell really loves Sam Darnold and what he is as a quarterback. And I feel that there's such trust there that Darnold is going to do way better than people anticipate. Like, this is going to be this, not the final product, but this is going to be the Sam Darnold that people anticipated back to be kind of like the savior of the Jets. We're going to see him play at such a much higher level than we ever have. And you might say that's not saying much, but I'm telling you right now, in this Minnesota offense and the trust and the chemistry that he's building right now in that Vikings building, is going to light up the NFL for this upcoming season. I think he's going to shock a lot of people, and the Vikings are going to surprise some people along the way.
Okay. Just on Geno Smith's part, again, rushed, hurried 63 times, 75% on target drops, 26 drops, which helped with some of that too. But again, a little bit of a takedown, but again, that's what happens when you get hurried that much because of those injuries on the offensive line. That'll do it to you. Kyler Murray, interesting dude right here for us. And for, I think some people still projecting him high because, we kind of remember that he was bringing this Arizona team to, a playoff berth and doing fairly well, being able to make some scrambling yards, but then some throws too. Down on our list, very far down, I guess, in a sense. And some people bringing it up towards, you know, the middle of the pack or whatnot. I think you even brought up earlier that there was somebody that had him even higher. Mm-hmm. What is it with you that, you know, you have him as far down?
Kyler Murray to me is like a poor man's Lamar Jackson. Kyler Murray to me is a guy that utilizes his legs more often than he should. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't run because he is very dynamic. He's very fast. He's hard to tackle, especially when he breaks the pocket. But his throwing mechanics are not all there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been years now for him to work on his throwing mechanics, for him to work on footwork, stepping into throws. And there's times when I'm not trying to pick on him, but there are times when he's behind the line of scrimmage and he goes to step into a throw and airmails it way over the wide receiver's head because you got a 6'7" tackle in front of you and he's trying to throw over him as well. So I just think that with with that kind of dynamic that he has to try to overcome, that's why you see him run more often than not run out of the pocket so he can mm-hmm. see the field. Mm-hmm. And even though there are plays that they can come up with where they create like kind of like a window inside that pocket to where he can throw it, it's just too much extra work. So like for Kyler Murray, we've seen him make bad decisions, throwing it up for grabs. It ends up getting turned over, you know, intercepted. So for Kyler Murray, that's why I have him much lower than most people. I love the dynamic that he brings. I think he could be, and he has. He has carried the Cardinals to a 12-4 record and made the playoffs. You know, he's had success in this league. It's just, I don't think he's going to be able to get it done, especially with the team in its current state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you're basically mm-hmm. rebuilding that receiving core. You have Marvin Harrison Jr. Great on them.
Yeah.
They got Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
And the rest of the guys. Like they got yeah. Greg Dortch, who I really do like. I think he's a little bit of a sleeper receiver. We'll see him start this year. But Michael Wilson is another kind of second-year receiver. Played okay in his rookie year. See if he can stay healthy this year. But I don't know. Something about Kyler Murray, it's like sometimes when you start to see success with the kid, that it kind of goes right out the window the very next play and a turnover happens. Or he's running with the football and he holds it out with one hand and ends up fumbling it. Like it's almost like carelessness on his part sometimes and kind of just over-believing in his athletic ability rather than his throwing ability.
Yep. I see that too as well, and that's kind of like how I have him back here as well. Absolutely. All right, so let's look at the tail end of this here now as we're wrapping up the list. Pretty close to what mine is. We're again, just exchanging just a few different here. Again, you have Trevor Lawrence in that back, leading the back. I have Geno Smith leading the back end of this one. Darnold, I don't believe in as much, but I believe that he will be the starter to start it off.
You got AR at the same spot as I do. I just noticed.
Yeah, exactly, right there. And I think with the rookies, I think it's just what your flavor is and what you like. You know what I mean? And you're just kind of guessing. You know what I'm saying? With to where these teams are trying, you know, in the trajectory, it's tough. But I think some people, again, where are you going to put Caleb Williams? I mean, some people have put him in the middle of the pack, you know, because they're expecting a lot of big things. But from what we're hearing out of camp, mm-hmm. there's a lot of work to be done. What we've said in the draft, what we saw in workouts, you know, in our personal opinions about what he can do, his faults too. I think these guys are all down here, and we're pretty much consistent on the same path here. I think the fact that we both have Zach Wilson, though, back here instead of a Bo Nix possibly as a starter, I think that's a safe bet because I think, again, Zach Wilson could win this starting job, at least for now, until they do decide to change the reins over with Bo Nix. And Zach Wilson, though, has showed times to be very good, though, too, for you know, for a team. So
I'm just
excited to see what he would look like for this Broncos team.
Just like Kyler Murray. Like, that's the thing is, like,
right.
Everybody kind of hypes Kyler Murray because of his running ability, but really he's more like Zach Wilson where he shows some flashes but then does some bonehead things.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're hearing out of Denver is that they love Zach Wilson right now. He's actually ahead of Bo Nix in terms of being able to lock down that starting job. I know it's very early, but that initially you have to go with experience, right? Like Zach Wilson's been there, done that. He's had some starting experience. So, of course, you're going to initially put him on the top of the depth chart. But Bo Nix, not far behind. Like it's going to be a very good competition for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious because, Jim, I mean, you have him too. You have him as the starter. I think he ends up the starter.
Right.
And if things aren't going well, then they're going to probably switch gears and go to Bo Nix.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. And we have a bunch of comments rolling in. I'm sorry I didn't get to you guys enough. We were very in-depth in conversation here. But we are getting to them right now. So
okay, let's go.
William is here on Grumblings. Yeah, so he's on Rumble. He says Sam Darnold will win the job right there to the top. Mm-hmm. Top it off, this is the best opportunity he's actually had. The Jets kill quarterbacks, and the Niners had Purdy, but Darnold was able to to reestablish himself, you know, mm-hmm. from, you know, mechanics and stuff like that. So,
right.
I think, yeah, just like what Joe said, you know, here he goes. William also says, right here, I give Kyler Murray Kyler Murray deserve. I give Kyler Murray deserves all the love he gets. I'm not sure if that's supposed to be worded like that, but that's how I'm reading it, and that's how it is.
But, he deserves the love. Jim.
He deserves. I give Kyler Murray deserves all the love. All right, there you go.
We God love you, Kyler
him.
Murray.
God bless him. He says he proves when you strive, you can achieve greatness. A damn midget was able to become a starter. What a role model for little people. That's messed up.
We do not condone that comment.
What the hell? I'm like, it makes me think, though, too. Yeah. All right, so he just even got, extended not too long ago. Do you think that Kyler Murray, if all of a sudden, you know, if it's not really working out for him, do you think he can just go back into baseball and make a baseball career, you know, as a kind of secondary career to get back to it? Because that's the thing. He gave up the big baseball money to – he was already brought in, but with the Athletics, I think it was, or something that drafted him maybe, and you know, to pursue football. Mm-hmm. And if his football career is ending up where he is hoping and trending where it was, would he fall back to, like, baseball and go back to baseball and be that type? Because that's what he was, you know, also very good at as well.
Yeah, he was a two-way, two-sport athlete, and he could have, if it was early in his career, I'm not so sure he'd be able to make it in the majors now because he's been doing nothing but training football, nothing, and it's been years. So now for him to kind of, like, already try to change his mindset and say, you know what, I'm going to go try baseball now because football, I think I could do baseball better. But now you got to hone in your batting skills all over again. Like, the speed is going to always be there, but batting skills, catching, you know what I mean? Like, after not doing drills and not practicing that sport for years, to get back into it is almost like Deshaun Watson when he was away from the game for 2 years. Saw how hard it is to come back in just two years for that sport, and it's a high-end sport, so for Kyler Murray to kind of all of a sudden make a decision, let's just say he made the decision now, right now, today, informs the Arizona Cardinals, I'm going to go play for the Yankees. You got to make the team first. I think it would be a very big uphill battle for him, and I'm not so sure he would even be able to get to the top of it.
It's interesting because we have seen players do it before. We look at even Tim Tebow go and try to make it. He was on the Mets Farm Club for a while. He didn't make it to the MLB, but players have tried to do it,
and
I wouldn't be surprised that he doesn't try though again. I mean, it wouldn't be out of the realm, I would say, for him to give it a try.
I think but he's already made
successful.
I think obviously he's already made that commitment to football on top of it by getting that extension and staying with football. Like, he could have left, and honestly, that would have changed. It would have changed a lot of things because then, you know, Cliff Kingsbury would have probably kept his job if Kyler Murray was gone, because really that was the rift. They had to choose one or the other. So it would have changed a lot in football, not just for Kyler Murray.
All right, so there you go. There's our list here. There's to take a look at Joe's one more time. You guys remember this. Look at this one, too. And tell us what you think again in the comments. Let us know. Share the post, absolutely. And see what other people think, too, as well. There's Joe's. Now, here's mine. Let's let that one breathe a little bit, too. Again, close on a few. A couple of these guys hit and miss, you know, and it's, again, it's splitting hairs. The only ones you can kind of look at, you know, is our top tens, which kind of get scattered all over the place. Joe does not have Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson in his top ten. I do. I have Aaron Rodgers, which he had back in 12, I think, and I have him as my number one. Brock Purdy in the mix. A lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. We did throughout this show, but again, share the videos, take a screenshot, share the clips, post them on Facebook, see what other people say. Also in our Facebook group and grumblingsmedia.com, let us know what your lists are. Give us your rankings. We like to see that as well, and we will assess them and let you guys know what we think about it because we like to hear about stuff from you guys as well.
Definitely, definitely. Comment down below. Give us your own rankings or where you agree with some of them, disagree with the whole thing, or even just come up with a few that you like there that we have ranked. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. Thank you, Blitz Nation, for doing so. And also want to say, listen, if you'd like to be part of the nation, it's very easy to do. Just head over to YouTube, Grumblings Media, hit the subscribe button there, the like, the share. Comment down below. We love comments. We love hearing from you guys out there, your opinions, questions, all of that. And we're not the only show here. That's right. You can get anything from political, entertainment, sports of all kinds. Also, anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, and you can also kind of hit us up on the web, grumblingsmedia.com or rumble.com. That's where you can find us as well. And any of these other great